other. I do not see you, the real you. You do not see the real me. You see the house I live in. Now, if we can understand that, then it'll help us to understand something about death. Now, when death comes, this part of a person is dropped off like a garment taken off at night. It's dropped off, and that is what they bury. They don't bury you. Please, you don't go to the graveyard. They bury the house. They take the blood out of the house and put formaldehyde in and paint you up. Get it, you know, where you look like you're really going somewhere. When you're already gone. Nowhere around. But this is what they're working on. And this is what people are crying over. The person's not at the funeral. They're either in a good place or bad. They're not at the funeral. But this embodied intellectual spirit goes to be with Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Paul, who came as near living like Christ and man, got homesick. Said there are times I'd just like to depart from what? Depart from the body. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He said, well, if he goes to be with Christ, where does he go? Well, where is Christ? Right hand Father, isn't it? I know there's a lot been written and said about so-called middle life. But as far as I'm concerned, I think death for a child of God simply means a trip to paradise. And paradise is third heaven where God is. And I don't think it'll take us long to get there. I'm not worried about transportation. God will have a convoy of angels on hand, take us home. Peggy and Wayne and others of you singers, I just want to be with all my heart to be furnished with some of the best music we've ever had on that trip. I really do.
Stereo.
All stereo would just sound rough compared to what that would be like. You know, it is said of Jesus Christ, he has the voice of many waters. They claim that waters, rushing waters, really have no discordance. No. Have you ever heard that thing? Well, they don't. The rushing of waters, they do not create a discordant note like other like rock music. I'm going to hear rushing waters I'm going to hear rushing waters.
Well, a disembodied intellectual spirit takes its flight to go be with the Lord. Now, this is not a perfect state, but it is a time of rest. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow after. Now, there is a passage in the book of Revelation that teaches me that to live as a disembodied spirit is not altogether satisfactory, because these martyred saints are asking God, as we'd say, to wind up the ball of yarn, bring this thing to a close, exercise your vengeance against the Christ-rejecting world, bring it to an end, and give us glorified bodies.
About rested up by now, aren't they?
Well, I figure they're in better shape than we are. And that's not saying that I want to die. I'm like the fellow who in a camp meeting, when the evangelist said, everybody that wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. Well, everybody but one of my own cowboy raised his hand. And preacher thought, well, I'm going to talk to him after that service. And so he asked, don't you go to heaven when you die? He said, oh, sure. I said, but I thought you was hustling up a load right now. Now, if you ask me if I want to go to heaven, and you're making qualifications, I might not raise my hand. If you say you want to go to heaven when you die, yeah. But if you're hustling up a load right now, God fixed me where I'm not quite that homesick. And I think it's of God that I'm not.
Amen.
However, now, I do believe this. I do believe that God has got a way of finally making his saints homesick.
Yes, sir.
You know? And that's not tragic. But in the resurrection, when Jesus Christ comes back, then this body, no matter whether it went down at sea or on a desert where the bones are bleaching, will be resurrected. You know, I've had people ask me all kinds of questions about this in class. One of them said to me, he said, well, look, now here's a fellow dies, and they bury him here in the graveyard. And his decaying body enriches the soil, and grass grows there, and the steer comes along and eats that grass that has been grown from the decaying body. And then you go along and eat a good, nice strip off of that steer. And then you die. And your body is returned to the dust, and a buffalo comes along and grazes, and you eat some buffalo, and they say, on and on and on. I said, I can't answer your question. I just know the God who made the world, the great chemist, can take care of a situation. He raised more questions than he could ever answer. But what sounds like difficult questions to us are no real problems for the Lord. He'll give us bodies that will not be tied to time and space. Bodies of beauty, bodies of strength, bodies that never suffer fatigue. Does it mean anything to you that one day you will get a body that you can live in forever? That there won't be anything wrong with it? I like that. That puts a little spring in my step. I've talked myself, you know, since I've been talking about this. I've talked myself in a better frame of mind.
sure have, just thinking about it. It's real. You're not ready to live. You're really not ready to live unless you're ready to die and know the hope you have beyond death. Then life has meaning to it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, 1 Corinthians 4:13 means a lot to me. First Corinthians 4:13. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, the sleep there has reference to the body. When you take all the scriptures, and let me say to you, as I've said over and over again, the safest way in the world to interpret the scriptures is to take all of the Bible. All of it. Don't isolate a few passages and a few words and pin all your theology on that. That sort of thing makes Christianity a caricature. It's like the cartoonists do people, you know. If some prominent man has big ears, then they make huge ears. Well, would we be odd looking if our ears were that long and that wide? Just imagine ears like that. And feet that long. And eyes that big around, with your head not much bigger than what it is. What? You say, well, that'd be an odd-looking creature. Well, that's what we get into when we fail to take all the scriptures and keep a proper balance. Peg is an accomplished musician. You just don't play on one key all the time. You don't play on one key all the time. She plays on a lot of keys. She's the only person I ever saw that could just sort of melt onto the keyboard. You can't tell that she even knows what she's doing when she's playing. And I don't believe she does. I just think it's in her somewhere. Well, we got off on that talking about a failure to take all the scriptures. Sleep here has to do with the body. The body sleeps. That ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. I get that? Resurrection. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now it tells us to comfort one another with these words. And as I said, you don't have to be at a funeral to do that. You don't have to be in any particular place or any particular case. These are comforting words.
We live in a world of uncertainty. We certainly live in a world of uncertainty in regard to our own bodies. Brother R.P. Baker had a rather unusual experience in that one of his uncles died from surgery, blood clot in the lung, and while the daughter was going either to the home or the funeral home, she was killed in a car wreck. You never know. But there's only one safe place, and that's in the hands of the Lord. And I think it's good to know that there's victory ahead. You say, well, you don't talk to people personally about things like this, do you? I stood by the bedside of my brother Mark at baseball and talked just as frankly as I talked to you this morning. He knew that he was incurably ill, that he was going to die, he was rational. And I explained to him, as best I could, the hope that we have and what happens at death, and that it's not the end and the victory that we have waiting us. I like to be a winner, don't you?
Amen.
Well, with our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be winners, eternal winners. See, what it all adds up to is this. God started the work in us when we were born again, when we were saved. That was spiritual, right? Then do you know what he expects now of us? He expects us to grow and to become mature children of God. The battleground now is the mind. You know that? That's what the devil is after, is your mind. That's what God wants, too. God wants your mind to be centered on him. And he wants you to grow up to maturity. I didn't say perfection. That must wait. But maturity. Growing up so that we are mature. We not only can help ourselves, but we can help others. And then the final completion of our redemption will be the redemption of the body. Then what about a place to live? Well, as I understand it, we're going to live here on the earth for 1,000 years with Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But wait. That's not the best. For the millennium will end in rebellion. Right? And at the end of the millennium, the earth will be purged of all corruption. I don't know the details. I'm not worried about it. I just have faith in God that he'll take care of this thing. But there will be a purchase. There will be an eternal segregation. You know, I want to tell my black friends, I believe in segregation. Now listen to me, I'm not talking about the kind that is often practiced in the world. I'm talking about segregation based on acceptance or rejection of Jesus Christ. At the end of the millennium, there's going to be an eternal segregation. One crowd goes one way and another goes another, and never the twain shall meet. God's people go into a perfect land where sin will never be allowed to enter. The other crowd goes away, never again to be with God, our God's people. So that's the future that we have. And that's the bad future that Christ rejectors out. Any questions? Easy ones, please.
Yes, in dealing with those people on the bedside, ministering to those who know they're dying, have you recorded some words they've said, or you know, are they closer to God? Or if, I know there's some tenseness involved, I'm sure.
And well, I've talked with people in varying degrees of anxiety, and some seem to be at perfect peace. I don't know how I'll meet that. I would hope that I would meet it with great calmness, but I don't know. I have talked with people who seem to be as calm as we are right now. Others that seem disturbed. And then I've had the privilege, I think, of talking to people who were disturbed and who later, it seemed, became reconciled to death and to the meaning of death and to the victory that lies beyond. You see, folks, listen to me. If you don't have the answer to death, and we're talking about the resurrection, we're not all subject. If you don't have the answer to death, you don't have anything. Because inevitably, people grow old and die, or die young. People do die. And if you don't have the answer to death, you don't have anything. You say, well, what's the answer? The answer is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't in religion. It isn't in a church. It isn't in you. It is in a person who died, was buried and rose again, and who's now living, and who says, if the Spirit that raised up me is in you, you're going to be raised. All right.
The rapture occurs, do you think the body will, the physical body will still be left here on earth, or do you think the body will vanish?
I don't know the detail. All right.
Yeah, this is one question. This, you know, let's talk about three resurrection, physical resurrection. Talks about personal, body, material, physical resurrection. And that, I don't quite understand it, because the physical resurrection, I mean, there's no gender in heaven, right? I mean, how's the female going to be you know?
Could I have your attention, please?
She's going to have
following students need to come to the office.
Well,
I just don't, it's not really personal because she's not going to be there. It's not really physical. She's not going to have physical appearance. She's going to be
Betty Weigel, Mike Bean, Wesley Harville, and Gerald Parker.
I would say this, the scriptures are clear. When Jesus was asked about the case where several people have had one woman as a wife, you know, married a woman and she died, and then brother married and on down until there's seven of the brothers that are his wife. And the question was asked, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus answered, said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. They neither marry nor are given in marriage. Angels are sexless. Sex, family, as we know it, is for the earth only. I don't know the details. I've answered your question, but I do know the general information that lets us know